Morena. A reading from Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. God's covenant with Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakaronga ki te kupu, atawairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. Do not worry. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te ronga pai tēnei, āta karaiti.
Good morning. Kia ora e hui hui mai nei. E mihi ana ki ngā mana whenua. He tangata tiriti ahau ko Miriam Tuku Ingoa. Morena, it's lovely to see you all here again this morning. Who's been enjoying watching the Commonwealth Games? Yeah, we love the Commonwealth Games or the Olympic Games at our house. We're not really sporty people. We don't follow any sport at all, but sorry for those people that do, good on you, but we love the Commonwealth Games and we love the Olympic Games, and it's on 24/7 at our house. We're glued to it. Did you see Kate and Wills and little Princess Charlotte went to one of the events as well? This week I have had many late nights staying up. I probably stayed up till about 1:30 watching the weightlifting the other night. I don't even like weightlifting and I was invested. I was committed to what was happening. I was like, oh, and it's man won, I don't even know where he was from, but he won bronze from a country that had never got a medal before, and it was so exciting. You know, when that happens, oh, it's good, isn't it? So I watched it again this morning. Did you see we, our girls are through to the volleyball to try and get the bronze, and we got a Okay, it doesn't matter. But anyway, if you want to, though, go and watch our 1,500-metre runner who's been trained by him. Nick Willis is his mentor. His name's escaped me. He's 21. He just raced. You need to go and watch it because he came sixth, and I've never seen someone so happy to come sixth in my life. He was so proud. He shaved 3 seconds off his time, and it was just really gorgeous. He's a Christian young man, actually, and it's just really lovely to watch. But anyway, I'll get back to the Commonwealth Games later. There is a point of me mentioning that. So this morning I'm going to be looking at the reading from Luke, and I'm kind of going to split it into two sort of themes. The first one is to be ready for Jesus, and the second one is about being present. So I just want to start off by asking, who knows about the personality test, the Enneagram? Do we have anyone here? Oh, good. I know that you guys all do. That's so good, because I want to just talk for a second about it. So I'm an 8, but I'm the best kind of 8. I'm a social counter-type 8. So I'm an 8 that is a little bit more grey. I don't have to always be right, although usually I am. And I don't have to be in charge. I'm totally fine with someone else taking charge. I'm a little bit more social. I have perhaps a softer heart than some other 8s. I know there's some other 8s actually in the room. I know that Mark's an 8. I know that, Mr. Shepherd's an 8. Andrew's an 8. Justin Duckworth is an 8, actually. So you guys know quite a few 8s. But as an 8, I don't like being told what to do. I'll just be honest and admit it, especially when it's things that I actually know I'm right in. Or I know how to do them already. And do we have any 9s in the room? Yeah. I know. I was going to say Jaden. I know Jaden's a 9 because Tom is a 9. And a 9 is a peacemaker. So you imagine an 8 and a 9 being married. It's interesting. But poor Tama has probably borne the brunt due to an aspect of his personality, which is just trying to help, and my personality, which is don't tell me what to do. So I was really pleased this morning I was really pleased that the verse that we read from Luke began as it did, which was, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." Because the next few sentences don't really mesh well with my 8-ness. And at first glance, it's sort of a bit of a to-do list. So it's sell your possessions, give alms, make purses, but not just any purses, well-made purses that don't wear out. Be dressed for action. Fashion's important. Have your lamps lit. Be ready at all times. Be alert. So it's this sort of long, kind of extensive list. And I think it's quite hard. I think that list, if you actually look at it, it's quite hard. You know, sell your possessions, give alms, sort of store up the treasures in heaven, not on earth. So thinking about, you know, my nice warm house and my nice jacket that Tama bought me for my birthday, and, you know, but that's not what's important, is it? Be dressed and ready for action. Have your lamps lit. When we lived in Central Hawke's Bay, for a couple of years we lived at a camp, a little bit like our rancho, but it was a lot smaller, called Camp David, and we lived there, and at the time, I think, Grace was about 6 and Elijah was 2.5, and then we had Lydia, who was a baby. So my house looked like what you can imagine a house might look like if you have 3 little kids. So it was well-loved, and I like to be tidy, but we just had one lounge, so it had lots of toys in the corner, and there was, generally speaking, maybe washing in a basket somewhere. And on this morning, one of the other young staff, Mike, was having a chat to me, and he was at my house, and Lydia was in the high chair, and there was toast crumbs around, and there was dishes on the kitchen, and I got a phone call from the office, and the office said, "Oh, your grandfather wants to speak to you." And I thought, well, that's weird. So my granddad was about 85, and he lived in Palmerston North, and he had been widowed. My grandmother had passed away, and he'd just recently at that point got remarried to a lovely little old lady called Wynne. So he was having a second chance at life at 85. And I answered the phone. He said, "Oh, hi, I'm here." And I was like, what do you mean you're here? And he said, oh, I thought I'd bring Wyn for a drive, which was so out of character and never had ever happened before. And I was like, oh. And he said, where are you? Where's your house? And at Camp David, there was a big sort of, we called it the Oval. It was a big oval lawn. And it had a basketball court and a big field on it. And the office was up here. And then it had a ring road that went all the way around here. And we lived over here. And so he was here, but he'd have to drive all the way around here. And he said, oh, come for a cup of tea. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I put the phone down. And Mike was like, oh, I'll leave you to it. And I said, no, you're not going anywhere. You need to help me get the house ready, just this lounge ready, because my granddad's coming and I don't want him to think this is how I live. And so, honestly, at the time it took, he was probably driving about 15K because I had a sign up and you've got to be careful because of children. So it was a slow drive around and he was 85, you know. And so we grabbed the washing and we shoved it in a bedroom and we grabbed all the toys and we pushed them behind the couch and moved the couch back and then he helped me wipe the benches and everything. And finally, honestly, it was the quickest house tidy and like 5 minutes or something. And then as Poppy and Wyn were coming up, he said, see ya, and walked out the door. And I was like, phew. I was not ready. I was not ready to have a guest at my house. So what is Jesus asking us to be ready for? What does he mean? And I think the list could be kind of endless in regards to readiness. Luke 6:45 says, what occupies the majority of your time? Because whatever has your time will eventually have your heart. And whatever has your heart will control your mind, which will determine your actions. Oh, I'm going to read that again. This is one of my favorites. What occupies the majority of your time? Because whatever has your time will eventually have your heart. And whatever has your heart will control your mind, which will determine your actions. What am I filling my life with to be ready? This week, I filled it with lots of hours watching the Commonwealth Games. But, you know, I could say from that, I've learned discipline and teamwork and sportsmanship. But, you know, what books am I reading? What movies am I watching? What conversations am I having with my friends? What quality time am I spending with my kids? How often am I praying for them? Am I ready? Are my lamps lit? Our son Malachi has given me permission to share this wee story. He has dyslexia, and unfortunately, he's inherited from me some mild dyscalculia as well, which is kind of like math dyslexia. And he's in year 11 at high school, so that's fifth form, which is like school C. So his first kind of big exams and tests and things. And in the new system, I don't know how many of you guys are aware of it, but I'll just fill you in. NCA, you need to have 80 credits in total to pass the year, but you have to have 10 numeracy credits. So you do these little tests and then you get credits and you've got to make it up to 10. And it is so hard for Malachi. It's so hard for Malachi. And he's sitting these tests and he's not passing these tests. And it's really hard for him. And he studies really hard and he's gone to extra classes and we've got him some tutoring. And he has worked so hard. And at the moment, he's got 7 of his 10 credits. I'm so proud. Yeah, he's doing so well, but man, he has to work hard. He has to study. He has to go to extra classes. He goes on a Tuesday after school, and then he has 2 lunchtime classes as well. And he hasn't always, you know, he's failed, but he keeps going. He's practicing. And that's what we need to be doing in our lives. We need to be getting ourselves ready. We need to be doing the work. In Luke 35, it says, be dressed and ready for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. And our hearts and minds need to be ready. What are you doing in your life to ensure that you are ready? when I was pregnant with our fifth child, Evie Joy. We were living in a different place in Central Hawke's Bay in a little historic town called Ongaonga. Has anyone ever been there? It's a little village. It's a beautiful little village. And we were living in a log house, and our friend had built this log house, and we were renting it from him. We lived there for about 2 years. It was just the most magical place to live. We absolutely loved it. And we were waiting for Evie Joy to come. And has anyone here ever had an overdue baby? Yeah. We're in a club, and it's not cool. I tell you, it's not a cool club. 5 kids, 9 days, 10 days, 11 days, 10 days, and we were waiting for this last wee baby to be born. And we were having Evie Joy at home, and my mum had come to stay, and Grace had come home from university, and so that she could be there when Evie Joy was born. And we were waiting, and it was like, oh my goodness. And with a little bit of lesson for you, but when you had more than 4 children, your fifth pregnancy, labour is a little bit different, and it can be quite start and stoppy. And so it was that, and I was like, here we go, it's all on, and then no, and then here we go again the next night, no, and that went on and on all week. So everybody was fed up with waiting. We were all over it. And I thought, I was trying to distract us, and so I was like, oh, how about we go to Napier for the day, and we'll do something fun. And so we went to Napier, and it was terrible. It was awful. Everybody argued, and I probably cried, which is not unusual, and it was not a fun time. And my mum, I said to mum, oh my goodness, it was so bad. And she said, oh, I know. And she was actually on her way. She needed to come to Waikanae because the Baptist Church were having a reunion, and she wanted to go to it, and she was like waiting for this baby to be born. And I said, I thought that would be a really fun thing to do. And she said, I think everyone is just so tense and so busy waiting. They just couldn't enjoy themselves. It says we need to be ready and waiting, but we need to remember to not let the waiting consume our lives, because I don't think that's what Jesus wants. I don't think he wants us to live in fear, constantly waiting for what's coming next. Fear produces anxiety, and if you're an eight like me, you don't like the thought of not being in control. While it says, be ready and waiting for our Master Jesus to return, it says at the beginning, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we are living in his kingdom here on earth, and he wants us to be ready, but he wants us to be present, to enjoy each day, to make the most of our lives, to not be afraid, to have fun, to go on holidays with our family, to stay up late and watch the Commonwealth Games. He wants us to make the most of right now and to remember that it's his pleasure to welcome us into his kingdom. We need to be ready, but we need to enjoy the moment that we're in as well. His kingdom here on earth that he's created for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you help us to prepare and be ready. Let us start each day with our lamps lit. We also ask that you help us to be present every day. We thank you that you welcome us into your kingdom here on earth. Amen. I heard in